This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
The psalmist cried, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you're feared." The psalmist here is talking about the need of help and strength that comes from life's failures. Paul writes in Philippians 3 from a prison cell, and he says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." He could be saying, "Forgetting the failures of my past, I reach forward to the successes that lie ahead of me." You know, one of Murphy's laws states, if anything can go wrong, it will, and at the worst possible moment. Have any of you experienced Murphy's law? I have. And if you go to most any bookstore in our society, you'll find that one of the more popular sections is the how-to section. How to be successful, how to achieve, how to arrive, etc. We in our society are so infatuated with being a success. We don't even want to associate with the other kind of person in our society. Failures, they're not even discussed. I have yet to read a book on 10 Easy Steps to Failure, or My Greatest Disasters, or What I Learned When I Blew It. We just don't have those kind of books. But failure is a reality of life. Oh, I'll admit, it's undesirable. It's not popular. But it is, nevertheless, a fact of life. Devastations and disappointments come, and failure haunts us all. There is no one who's not experienced failure at some time in their life. And many times when these failures come, others label us as failures. And sometimes we even choose to tag ourselves, saying, "Yeah, I'm a failure." A failure can come in so many forms. You know, it can be the little child failing to keep his balance and falling off his bicycle. It can be the student failing in his studies. It can be the failure of the lady in her marriage. It can be the man in his bankruptcy of his business. It comes in many different ways. But sooner or later, failures do come to us. Things in life sometimes do go wrong. I've had people come to me for counseling who feel they've ruined everything. They want to know if it's even possible to begin again when it's not possible to go back to the beginning. Can God ever bless me again? And with all that I am, I answer, yes. Yes, the Lord can give you a new beginning. Yes, failure can become the back door to success. So many times, the doorway of success is entered through the hallway of failure. Let me illustrate by telling you of a man who came to an interview for the janitor position in a local tavern. Well, the owner of the tavern finally decided that this would be the one to hire, so he said, "Hey, you'll need to fill out the application before I can hire you." Well, when he said that, the man looked ashamed and embarrassed. He said, "I'm sorry, but I have no education. I can't read or write, so I can't fill out the application." And to this, the tavern owner replied, "Are you kidding? Well, I sure don't think we need anyone working around here who can't even fill out a simple form. Sorry, pal, hit the bricks." So, feeling dejected after the interview, The man went his way. And as he was going home, he was holding on to his last dime, had it in his hand, contemplating his dark future. And as he walked, he came up to a wagon of fruit, saw a nice apple on it. He decided he was going to spend his last dime on that apple. And so he did. And so he walked on down the street where he sat down on a park bench, began to polish that apple, thinking of what a failure he was. And just then a passerby noticed his polished apple, looking so delicious. And he asked if he'd be willing to sell the apple. Man thought for a minute and he said, yeah, for a quarter I will. And so the passerby bought the apple. Well, the man went back to the fruit wagon, bought two more apples, had a nickel left over, went back to his bench, polished his two apples, and guess what? Before very long, he sold them too. So he went back and bought four, then eight, and so on until he had enough to get his own fruit cart. Then he opened a fruit stand and a vegetable stand, and then his own store, and then another store, and finally a whole chain of stores. Well, one day, he was talking to one of his store managers, and he said, you know, I have a problem. I've been able to make quite a lot of money, but I have it stashed all over the place. There's some in my dresser drawer, some in my desk, some in my kitchen cabinets. I'm afraid I'm just not taking care of it the way I should. And the manager said, hey, man, you need to put that in a bank. But I don't know how to do that, the man replied. Well, the manager agreed to help him, so down to the bank they went. When they went inside, they said, hey, we'd like to open an account here and deposit some money. The banker said, well, that's fine. How much did you want to deposit? The man said, I don't know exactly, but I know it's well over $1 million. Well, come right in, sir. And boy, the first class treatment started. In fact, they asked the man to wait just a moment while they hurried and set up the conference room on the top floor of the bank, had it catered with food and entertainment. The banker then took them up in the elevator, spent some time buttering him up. And after about an hour, the banker felt they should get down to business. So he said, by the way, you'll need to fill out some papers for us. To which the man replied, well, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Well, why not? Asked the banker. Well, because I'm uneducated, can't read or write. So I won't be able to fill out any papers. Well, the banker's mouth fell open as he said, wow, what a man. Just think what you could have been if you hadn't failed to get an education. And the man said, well, that's easy. If I had an education, I'd have been a janitor in a beer joint. How is it, how true is it that many people never do realize that the failures, the disappointments, and the mistakes they make in life are just open doors for them to excel and be what God wants them to be? You see, God knows we tend to dwell on our failures, both our own and others. Therefore, he knows he must deal with us right where we are, right in our failures. In fact, God often uses our failures to remind us just how desperately we need him. Hey, salvation itself was designed for those who have made mistakes, for those who have sinned. The successful people, I mean the successful people for eternity, they're the ones who have received and applied God's remedy for failure. I once read a letter written by a high school senior. It seems this senior had received a letter of rejection from the college he wanted to attend. So this senior sat down and wrote a reply. He said, dear admissions officer, I am in receipt of your rejection of my application, and as such, I would like to accommodate you, but I cannot. I find I simply cannot accept it. I've already received 4 rejections from other colleges, and this number is, in fact, over my limit. Therefore, I must reject your rejection, and I will appear for classes on September 18th. Hey, I like that. I don't know if it worked for that student, but it has worked in my life and in the lives of many others, because success is never final and failure is never fatal. Failure has a way of becoming a back door to success. There are people listening to me right now who have risen from seeming failure to meaningful achievement. I'm reminded of how in 1894 in England, the speech teacher wrote across the 16-year-old's report card, "A conspicuous lack of success." But this 16-year-old rejected the rejection and became a world-renowned leader. You may have heard of him. His name is Winston Churchill. Well, one boy, he was so slow to learn that his parents thought he was abnormal. His teacher called him a misfit. Years later, after being rejected twice before being allowed to enter college, he was writing his dissertation for his doctorate degree at the University of Bern. He was turned down as being irrelevant and fanciful. And who was this? None other than the world-renowned scientist, Albert Einstein. Thomas Edison, he was told by his headmaster that he was such an undisciplined dreamer that he would never amount to anything. And yet you and I know that Thomas Edison has more patents than any other American and is still considered one of the greatest inventors of all time. You see, there was a place where his failure became the back door to success. John Wesley, he failed miserably as a missionary to the Indians in Georgia. And as a result, he appealed to God, and God remarkably changed and regenerated his life, sent him back to stir and change England's history. He became the founder of the Methodist Church as he discovered it doesn't have to be fatal to fail. What I'm saying this morning is that instead of failures destroying us, we should see it as a ground from which we can rise to greater things. Why, the Bible records the lives of many who were failures and yet became useful, meaningful, and successful. Remember that brash young dreamer in the Old Testament named Joseph? Everything seemed to be going his way. But then he ended up in frustration as his brothers put him in a pit and sold him as a slave. And then he was put into prison by his employer. But his failure was the ground from which God brought him forth to become the prime minister of the whole nation of Egypt. Moses so desired to be what God wanted him to be, but he found that when the moment came to bring deliverance to the children of Israel, he committed a murder and had to leave out of the failure of trying to be a deliverer. He was sent to the back of the desert over by Midian. He was a failure. In fact, in those days, to be a shepherd was considered the lowliest of occupations. And that's what Moses was. But out of that failure, God made Moses the liberator for over 3 million Jews. How about the Apostle Paul? He had a great ministry, had a missionary plan. Man, he had these plans and goals, but he realized that many of his goals were not going to be reached. He wrote, "And I plan to visit you in Spain," but he never made it to Spain. It would be easy to see Paul as a miserable failure as a preacher and a missionary, for he was in a Roman cell being guarded day and night. But that cell became the back door for a successful ministry. For it was while he was in prison that he wrote the 13 letters that are now the basis for our doctrine and understanding of Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it. If he had gone to Spain, we probably wouldn't know what we do about the resurrection. or what we know about the Holy Spirit gifts in operation. So I'm glad he was in prison. Aren't you? Oh, he failed to reach his goals. But he made something very important out of his failure. And how about Jesus Christ himself? Wasn't he a failure according to the world's system of measurement? I mean, Jesus came to his own people, and even his own people refused him. His family didn't understand him. Religious authorities hated him. His friends deserted him. His enemies crucified him. He died on a cross between two thieves, and he had to be buried in a stranger's grave. You call that success? No, that's failure. But out of that failure came the power of the resurrection and the joyful message of forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who will believe. Listen, God never planned on leaving Jesus Christ in the grave. And God never intends for us to wallow in our frustrations and in our failures. God has never intended for failures to be final or fatal. He's always intended for them to be the hallway into which we can open the door into the victories and the successes that he's ordained for our lives. Jesus Christ's failure became the door to eternal life. The door to the genuine success that you and I can know, not only in life, but also in eternity. See, God, through Christ's death, has provided a remedy for the ugliest of all failures. No failure in life can compare to the ugliness of sin that's there. But God can take our messes and he can straighten them out through the power of his remedy. Hallelujah! No one has failed too greatly or too often. But please note, God has designed that if we are to bring success out of failure, we must cooperate with him. I can imagine some of you asking, well, how do I do that? I mean, what do I do with all my failures and all my frustrations? Well, the first thing you must do is admit your failure. And that is not what we like to do, is it? We like to appear so pious and self-sufficient that we never like to admit that we failed. See, that's why our complex society is disintegrating. Our society tells us to deny our failures, ignore our failures, defend our failures, or blame somebody else for our failures. And when we do, we have the same messed up worldview that our society does. Listen, God does not want us to deny our failures. God does not want us to deny our failures. God wants us to know we can look our failures right in the face and we can confess them to him. He says we are to confess our faults to one another and to him. For you see, friends, God is never finished with anyone who repents. He wants us to be honest enough to confront our failures, honest enough to admit our failures. Now, the second thing to do if we want to see success come from failure is, after admitting it, now we need to learn to forgive ourselves. The devil is the accuser of the believers. And he accuses me to the Father. The devil says, look at that pastor. What a failure. Just look at all the mistakes he makes. And then the old devil comes down to me and he says, you know, God hasn't been treating you nearly as well as he treats Josh or Bob or Rick. You see, that old devil accuses me to God and accuses God to me. So because of this, whenever I make a mistake, he gets me in double jeopardy. Number one, he gets me to make the mistake. And number two, he puts a guilt trip on me. Then I start thinking, I'm unworthy. I start thinking I'm no good. I mean, why would God ever help me? But what we need to realize is that if God can forgive us, shouldn't we be able to forgive ourselves? In reality, if we won't forgive ourselves, we're actually putting ourselves above God. Can you see that? I mean, if an almighty and holy God can forgive us, who are we not to forgive? Oh, friends, don't let the devil accuse you. Never forget that God is pleased with Christ's sacrifice. So accept his forgiveness by the confession of your sins and the forgiveness of yourself. The old bumper sticker that says, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. That's true. So the next time the devil tells you that you're not perfect and that you've failed again, you tell him, that's right, but I go to the Father and he forgives me again and again and again. There's not a human on earth who's going to always be successful and never experience failure. We must accept the fact that there will be failure. The key is knowing what to do when the failure comes. And the third thing necessary in order to turn failure into success is we must learn from our mistakes. Every person, every one of us should be a student of life. And what should we learn? Well, we should learn that failures are opportunities for growth. For it's during times of failure that we discover who we really are. It's during times of failure that we discover what we really believe. See, it's a time when we can eliminate all the wrong things from our lives and reestablish our faith and our trust in God. In failures, we can determine the values and priorities of life, the things that are true for time and the things that are true for eternity. And if we really learn, we will do the fourth step that's necessary. You know what that is? Convert our learning into action. And it's this action that I want you to dwell upon in these closing moments today. I can begin again. Let's say those four words together. I can begin again. Let's say them and emphasize a different word each time, okay? We're going to say this sentence four times. Here we go. I can begin again. I can begin again. I can begin again. I can begin again. Praise the Lord. There's nothing more awesome, nothing more fulfilling than those four words. They are filled with potential for, from God's point of view, potential for a successful person who knows how to accept God's remedy for failure and then act upon it. We must realize that Christ's death on the cross is sufficient. It's all we need to provide for our forgiveness. It's not difficult at all for God to forgive. It's a lie from hell that says God cannot forgive us. The price for forgiveness has already been paid, and God now wants us to convert that into an action. I can begin again. You can begin again. Be encouraged by these words. God wants to take your failures and change them into a new beginning with a promise of success. So let me ask, where are you this morning in the failures of life? What are the ugly things in your life that are speaking to you? Have you failed in your marriage? Is your business going badly? Are relationships with your family unstable? Have other people labeled you as a failure? And maybe you've picked up the label yourself, and now you're saying, I'm useless, I'm no good. Well, the beginning point is your willingness to admit your failures and accept God's remedy of grace and restoration. Your failure may be physical, it may be financial, it may be mental, it may be relational, but I assure you, your failures can be the back door to your success if you will accept God's answer and if you will accept God's way for your life. If you have received any truth from this message today, will you just close your eyes right now? Just close your eyes to shut out any distractions and to allow me to speak to you personally. Will you do it? Thank you. I believe God wants me to tell you that He is willing to take the uglies of your life and give you the beauty of His redemption. The Bible says He gives us hope for despair. So if you are willing to admit your failures and forgive yourself and learn from your mistakes, if you're willing to put learning into action, will you put your hand over your heart and pray this prayer with me? Lord, please forgive me. I confess I have sinned by failing to trust You, and I thank You for giving me a new beginning. From this moment forward, I pledge to cooperate with You in turning my failures into something beautiful for Your glory. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.